Well, good evening, friends, and welcome to Steadfast as we revisit an old friend of a series, proverbially speaking. Every summer, for 6 summers now, we've come together and we've dug into God's wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And I'm glad that we're doing it again this summer, and I'm so glad that you're here with me as we do. It's been an interesting summer so far, hasn't it? Interesting spring, lots and lots of rain, overwhelming amounts of rain. And I bet as you walked outside during some of these storms, if they were milder, some of them you probably shouldn't have been, some of them I probably shouldn't have been. Walk outside. What do we see? We see pooling water over the ground because the ground is just so saturated. It's so filled with moisture, it can't take any. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought about the little container you can get, the Miracle-Gro dispenser that will dispense fertilizer onto your plants. And it occurred to me, the ground's so saturated, most of that would just roll right off right now. The thing that you'd really want to get to the plants probably can't even be well received some of the time right now because everything is just so wet. It's good that we're coming to God's wisdom because in our lives we are so wet with alleged wisdom, and even real wisdom that isn't ultimate spiritual, godly wisdom, that we struggle to actually absorb what God wants us to absorb. It rolls right off. We find wisdom and opinions and advice everywhere, don't we? Go on your computer, on social media, there's all kinds of people giving you advice on how to do pretty much everything. Go to work, go to school, go to church. We all try to help each other and give advice and wisdom. Go around your neighborhood, you run into a neighbor. What do you get? You get advice. We have wisdom all over the place. And some of it genuinely deserves to be called wisdom. If you go on to TikTok and watch an influencer who tells you how to get a stain out of your shirt, that's probably perfectly fine, just down-to-earth wisdom. But there's an awful lot of people claiming to tell us the things that really matter. And sometimes it's even fellow believers because we get confused, we get mixed up. And the question is, are we saving enough room? Are we being discerning enough that we can receive the wisdom that God actually has for us? And as we are Christians, potentially dispensing opinions and wisdom, are we dispensing godly opinions and wisdom because we're making sure that that's what we've been absorbing as well? That's what we're going to be challenged about tonight as we begin Proverbs chapter 2. Let's pray that God would help us to be those who absorb and dispense wisdom well. That we would know that the reason we can talk about it is because we have a wise God who loves us. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we do pray that you would help us to be people of wisdom tonight, people who take in wisdom in the right way, and people who dispense it in the right way. That the wisdom that we focus on, the wisdom that we receive, Lord, would be the wisdom from you, and that we would understand that as an active pursuit to truly become those who are wise in your sight. Would you help us to go on that pursuit? We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to look at the first verse to start out tonight. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you." Right here, we see how wisdom is an active thing. It's something that we have to chase after. It's something that it's not just passively letting it roll off of us. Because too often that's what we do. We are so overwhelmed. A lot of times, even when we're watching something or reading something that's advice, we're not really internalizing it. Why? Because we just have so much coming at us. But what we're told is if we want to become godly and we want to pursue godly wisdom, we need to accept and keep God's wisdom. Makes a huge difference. Now, we might say, going back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, but wisdom comes to us. God brings his wisdom to us. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the marketplace as she raises her voice. So, certainly, God brings his wisdom to us, and if we believe in him, we can't say how we've wisely pursued God's wisdom, and that's why we say that God cried out to us, right? His spirit came to us. He brought his wisdom to us. But that can lull us into this sort of dead, non-growing sort of life in Jesus, where, yes, we've been saved, But we don't actually grow and look more like him because we just sort of wait to see what God's going to bring to us. But God's calling us to actually pursue him, to pursue his wisdom, to want it, so that there's something happening that transforms us. It's an active thing to accept and to keep it. A lot of times we have information coming at us from so many angles it just goes right by us. I was thinking about how sometimes even while I'm preparing a sermon, I might have the news on in the background, just listening to what's going on in the world, not really watching the television screen, just it's coming into my ears. And there might be a story or two I'm kind of curious about. So I kind of listen for it, but I get to looking something up, I get to reading something else, and what do I know? There have been times I've had to hit that DVR button, rewind 2, 3, 4 times because it just keeps going right by me, even if I know I'm looking for it, because I'm trying to receive it passively and I'm not doing a very good job because other things are coming at me too. Well, if we're receiving all that wisdom from all over the place, even from well-intentioned people, even from godly people, but we're not actively pursuing accepting and keeping God's wisdom, when it comes, a lot of times it just goes right by us. God here is challenging us to do something about that, to take these twin actions of accepting and keeping his wisdom, treasuring it up. Because that makes a huge difference. And it makes an especially huge difference because a lot of times he's giving us wisdom that we don't need yet, right? In all sorts of areas of life, we might get information we don't need yet. And an awful lot of the time, we just let that information go on by because we don't need it yet. Doesn't feel urgent. And when we think about even as we read God's word, as we go to Bible studies or listen to sermons, what are we often listening for? Well, here are the two or three things I'm worried about today. Here are the things I'm praying about. Here are the situations I'm hoping will resolve this month or this year. And so I want stuff about those things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if we're really going to grow to be more like Jesus, we receive wisdom even when it doesn't have an immediate application for us. In fact, oftentimes, if we only try to get it when we need it, we can't absorb it fast enough. We're that saturated ground and it just rolls off. We need to be storing it up in doses that we can handle and then allow God's Spirit to do wonderful things, to grow wisdom in us through that. But it's so easy to say, well, it's not relevant right now. Maybe it won't ever be relevant. So I'm just not going to worry about it. Heard an interview recently about the former Cardinals pitcher Mitch Harris, and he only pitched for us for a year, but 10 years later, people are still talking about that season. Not because he had the most stellar season ever, but he did something rather unique. He's only the second person to go from being a Navy veteran to a major league pitcher. The last time was in the 1920s, so it doesn't happen very often. So it was unique when he came up, and when there were opportunities during that 2015 season to honor veterans, he was involved. And even in the years since, he's been involved with veterans opportunities, different things they do to honor veterans at the St. Louis Cardinals. But his story is remarkable, and it speaks to the challenge we face here. Because you see, he came up, he was a college baseball player in the early 2000s. Came up, went to the Naval Academy, I believe, in 2006, and in that same time period, the Atlanta Braves wanted to draft him. He turned that down, but then the next year, 2007, the Cardinals wanted to draft him, and he accepted. And in that process, here's this promising player. He'd been in college playing. He looked like he had such potential. Both some of the officers in the Navy and the Cardinals recruitment office attempted to talk the Navy into handing Mitch over, allowing him an early release from the Navy so he could be a major league pitcher. But in the midst of the Middle East tensions of the time, the Navy looked at the situation and said, nah, no thanks. They'd rather keep another sailor. And so it was until 2013, 5 years, 6 years after he was drafted by the Cardinals, 7 years since his first opportunity to be drafted. It was that long before he was going to be released from the Navy, and he had to decide what to do. Was this major league dream something that was unreachable? Or was there something to it? Well, I think a lot of us would have given up. If you know anything about different major league sports, you know that that kind of time period is often a whole career. He'd be old, relatively speaking, by the time he got out of the Navy. There'd be younger guys with plenty of promise who could potentially take the position that he would have. So it'd be easy to just say, forget about it. But what did he do as he was deployed on ships? Not exactly a great place to keep up your baseball skills. He sought out people to play catch with him, even on the ship. And he kept playing catch. And it sounds kind of silly, even. I mean, just catch. Here's a high performance, top tier pitcher, and he's playing catch with people. But he knew that's what he could do at that moment, and he knew it would help him at least to keep some of his skill up, because he hadn't lost focus on growing for what was ahead. And indeed, 2013 came. He was released from the Navy and went into the Cardinal system. 2 years later, 2015, he had that major league season, achieving something that most people never achieve, no matter how good they are at a sport. He became a major league player. And think about that. He hung on to what he knew he had to build. He knew he had to keep building something, even though it didn't seem relevant in the moment. Even though he could seek all kinds of wisdom that say, that's never going to apply to you. You're going to be old news by the time you get out. And playing catch, you're going to be so rusty, so ill-equipped, it's not going to matter when you get out. But he held on to his gift and he kept preparing for it. And that's what God wants us to do with wisdom. He wants us to play catch with his wisdom. When there's times that we think, well, I'm in too basic of a part of life to ever apply this, I don't need it. God says, no, just toss it back and forth with me. Allow me to work in your life on the different parts of my wisdom. Because here's the thing. Someday you're going to need it. Someday I'm going to use you. And I'm not going to use you in everything that you will ever study in a Bible study. I'm not going to use you in every subject I cover in my word, but I'm going to use you. I want you to be prepared. Now, sometimes it isn't even for us. Sometimes God is preparing us so that we can be those who offer wisdom to others. And whether it's at work or at church or in the neighborhood, we want to be people who have been preparing so well that when we offer wisdom, it's filtered wisdom. It's wisdom coming from God's word. Not just the things we're absorbing from everywhere else, because we can do that. Even as we study God's word together, even as I preach a sermon, you should be going back to God's word and filtering it through that, because just like the Bereans did in Acts 17 for the Apostle Paul, all of us should be coming back to God's word and filtering everything by God's wisdom. Because all of us are human beings, we're going to make mistakes. But we want to keep coming back to God's word, which is true and trustworthy, and keep playing catch with God. If you hear something new in a sermon or on a Facebook reel from some faithful teacher and you're trying to figure out how to make sense of it, just keep playing catch with God with it. Keep praying about it, keep studying God's word, and allow God to work that in you, and also to accept those times that God says, you know, that ball you're tossing back and forth to me, it's all torn up. You need a different ball. It's not the right one. It's not my ball. God works in us if we're willing to keep building up, strengthening ourselves, and waiting for that time. We accept and we keep. And that treasuring, that keeping is so important when it isn't going to apply right now. But just like Mitch Harris, God can use it later. That's the real question for us. Are we willing to set aside the quick fix, the worldly wisdom, the solution that appears to get what we want right now, for a situation that maybe doesn't look like it's going to work out so well right now, because we understand that we don't compromise in God's wisdom. We hold on to what's true, we hold on to what's good, we reject what is wrong, even if it looks like it will provide results. Why? Because we know that in the long run, as we play catch with God and we wait patiently, He directs us and He brings out so much better for us than what we can do on our own. Willing to do that. Sometimes it is 9 years like Harris. Sometimes it's a lifetime. But God doesn't let his wisdom just go and melt away. He uses it in our lives in ways we can't even imagine. Now, we have to hold on to things and we have to accept them, but we need to keep building up too. It's a constant process. We don't say, oh, now I've caught the one ball that God's tossed at me. I'm going to hold on to that. No, what do? We keep on searching for his wisdom. Verse 2. Making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. We're getting to a promise that'll be coming up next week, but here's the thing. Note that if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, it's the inverse of what we saw in Proverbs 1 with Lady Wisdom crying out. We should also be the ones crying out. You know, if you're trying to find someone in a giant crowd and the other person's crying out and you're crying out, the two of you crying out makes it a lot easier to find each other in that giant crowd than if only one is. It's worth it for us to be in that active pursuit. Yes, Mitch was treasuring up that baseball wisdom playing catch. He was trying to hold on to it and keep it. But really, if you think about it, that it was more than just keeping something he already had. He didn't just remember how he'd pitched in the past. He was actively seeking whatever opportunity he had. And we should be seeking, crying out whatever for whatever opportunity God has for us to learn more of his wisdom. Sort of like mining for precious minerals. Takes a while, right? Most of the time, you dig a little in the ground, you're not going to find gold or silver or anything else right at the top. You might need to go down a ways. You might need to go down a long ways. And even if you have professional equipment, it might take a while to finally get to the point where that mine is producing something. But you actively pursue it. You don't just keep the land. You actively pursue turning it into the productive mine it was meant to be. And God's wisdom is like that. Yes, he saves us without us doing anything. We talked about that last night. It's his work that saves us. But if we want to live a wise life, really feeling the fullness of what God does in us, there's an active pursuit to that. To say, God, I don't just want to be one of yours. I don't want to just be saved. I want to be someone who's used by you, who takes whatever gifts you've given me and pours them out in wise ways, who, when we face uncertainty in life, has wisdom to understand how to interpret that. I want those things. That takes an active pursuit. That's what we're being called to here. Take the time to look and to look into God's wisdom so we know how to look into God's wisdom. It's a circular process. The more we look into God's wisdom, the more we understand how to look for God's wisdom. That happens in different ways. One, we may not remember everything about everything we read, but as we read God's word, we may remember where to go back to when we need to dig in further when we're searching for a particular bit of wisdom. But also, as we're trying to understand other parts of God's word, he gives us that mind of scripture that helps us to understand how the little parts connect to the bigger parts. Or how, when we get to a specific situation that isn't exactly addressed in scripture, should I get a new job or not? Should I do this or that? Should I volunteer in this way or that? Well, we're not going to find verbatim that in there, unless we're thinking about pursuing something terribly ungodly and God just outright condemns it, right? If they're perfectly acceptable things, how do we discern? We discern by acquiring that mind of scripture, digging into God's wisdom to the point, because we've been actively pursuing it, that when confronted with a situation, God's been using that pursuit to shape us to see things as he sees them. But it takes pursuit. It takes seeking after it. What is it that God wants me to search for wisdom right now? What about for you? Is it the places where we use our time? Sometimes those are great things. Sometimes we waste an awful lot of time. I think we probably all do. I know I certainly do. And sometimes that's wisdom in itself, right? Knowing that it's okay to have some useless time, so to speak, for rest, but how often are we using valuable time in ways that aren't really providing us with rest and aren't really driving us towards God's wisdom either? That's something to look at. Maybe it's the wisdom in how we speak to other people. Are we speaking in a godly fashion? Are we speaking like everybody in our world does, angry and yelling and insulting and never bothering to understand where other people are coming from, just finding the worst of them and attacking them? Are we absorbing that? Maybe God wants us to find some wisdom there and say, well, how can I speak with wisdom instead? How can I speak in such a way that people say, there's something different about you. You don't speak like the rest of our culture. Fortunately, that's not what we hear most people say about Christians today, because we're not pursuing that enough. Maybe it's in the causes I support. Where are the loyalties that I form in life? Or am I forming them with things that are godly wisdom? Can I say of those things I put my energy into and my hopes into, yes, if God were writing about this situation today and it were going into God's word, the prophet that came up and talked about it would say, this is a good thing. Or would it be one of those things where the prophet comes in and brings God's judgment? Well, the more we pursue God's wisdom, the more clearly we can see the difference. My spam folder, it's filled with all kinds of things. Most of it's utter garbage. Some of it's just absolutely awful. A lot of it's just annoying. But also, and I think you've probably had this experience, has a few things that I actually need to see. And for example, a while back, I was looking for some information from my bank, and it went into the spam folder. And I didn't see it because they sent it in such a way that it kind of gotten distorted. It didn't look terribly official. It didn't look trustworthy, and so I just went skimming over it in the midst of everything else. Another area where I'm oversaturated, and I think most of us are. There's so much junk coming in, it's really hard sometimes to find the good stuff. And so I didn't see it. But on the other hand, there have been plenty of times where someone's trying to send me something and it goes into spam, and maybe it doesn't even look exactly the way I would think it should, but I know the sender whom I'm waiting for. I know what I'm waiting for. And so I see that come in and I spot it much more quickly because I have my eyes open for it. I'm actively pursuing it. So even if it goes in the junk folder, I find it. Well, in this world of so much junk wisdom, sometimes we miss God's wisdom for one because we've absorbed that junk wisdom and we think when we see God's wisdom, well, that must be the junk wisdom. Or it's just so noisy around us, we don't see it. We just pass it up. But the more we're in God's wisdom, when God sends us wisdom, we're looking for it already. And it doesn't pass us up, and we don't just let it sit in that junk folder because we say, oh, let me check my junk folder here. Oh, wait, here's something from God right now, and I want that thing because I've been looking for it because I want the next message God has sent for me. He sent a whole bunch of them. They're in His Word. We say we want to live wise lives. I don't know anyone who says, I'd like to live a foolish life. I'd like to be stupid. No, we want to live wise lives, right? Well, what does the wise life look like? It looks like an active journey on God's path, seeking after His wisdom. That's not meant to be tiring, because every time we're coming into God's wisdom, it's a testimony to how He loves us and He's with us. And that's the beauty of that wise life. We're going to talk more about that this summer. So let's pray that God would guide us as we go on this wisdom journey together and that He'd help us to be wise people in this world. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your guidance. Would you help us to be people who are wise, who are faithful, who are used by you? Would you help us to absorb what's of you and to reject what isn't? That when we're saturated, it's because we're saturated with your truth and your wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. And then when we share, whether it's at work or school or church or neighborhood or online, that we would dispense things that point people to you, that help them to understand you, not the things we think you might care about beyond you, but that they point to you because nothing else actually saves anyone. Help us to be focused on you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Say, I'm trying to figure this out. I don't have it all worked out. That's okay. This isn't the story of if you have enough wisdom that now God will love you. It's that God loves you and so He wants to give you wisdom. And tonight you can trust in Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm all messed up. I need your forgiveness and your grace. And He'll answer that prayer. And you won't be immediately wise, but you'll have the one who is wise with you. If you'd like someone to pray with you, you can just jump into the chat. Many of us would love to pray with you on there. Or you can text our texting line, which you can see on screen, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. It's a great way to write in about that or anything else you might have a question or a prayer request on if you for whatever reason, don't want to put it in the chat. Either way is great. Let me just mention, too, as we pursue wisdom together, one key way we do that. One key way is that we study God's Word together. That's what we're doing tonight. But it does help to be able to bring our questions and discuss interactively. Of course, we do that in the chat here, but we also do that in a different format on Tuesday nights with a video conference Bible study. I hope you'll join us at 7:15 Central Time tomorrow. If you haven't been there before, just let me know. I'll help you get in. We would love to have you. It matters that you're there because we help each other to shield each other from that not godly wisdom and help sprinkle each other with God's wisdom that we find in His Word. And I'd love to share that time with you. Please do give us a like or a share. Let others know about this venue that we have together, that we get to study God's Word together and find His wisdom together. It makes a difference every time you do, every social media avenue and real life ones. Say something tomorrow at work to coworkers you're just chatting over lunch. Hey, why don't we watch this together? It really does make a difference. Can't wait to be back with you tomorrow, for Bible study, of course, and next Monday for the next Dad Fest as we continue in Proverbs. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll see you again very soon.